Welcome back to the Florida History Podcast. I'm Carter Krishnire. Robert Bucciolato will be back later this month. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the SS Commodore shipwreck, which was an American steamboat that wrecked off the coast of Florida in early January 1897. With one passenger who was very famous, Stephen Crane, who then made this shipwreck even more famous. Stephen Crane, of course, was an American poet, novelist, wrote short stories, and into Impressionism. He was very, very innovative poet, very, very innovative writer, famous, who unfortunately passed away at the age of 28. And he wrote the book, The Open Boat, about the events of the sinking of the Commodore. So much of what follows in this podcast, much of what you've probably read about this moment in history, come from his accounts. So having a famous passenger on the steamboat is the reason we know so much about it, and the reason the sinking is so famous. There are plenty of shipwrecks off the coast of Florida. You could go and document shipwrecks off the coast of Florida. And let's just say, take this year, 1896 or 1897. There were probably a couple hundred shipwrecks off the coast of Florida. But this one is very famous for this reason. Because of Stephen Crane and because of the circumstances behind the sinking, or behind the journey of the steamship, and possibly, don't want to get too deep into this, but possibly the circumstances behind the sinking. But back to Crane himself, he was a huge hit in the 1890s. From 1891 to 1896, won international acclaim for his Civil War narrative novel, which was called The Red Badge of Courage, which I think probably every single person listening to this podcast has read or at least heard of. And The Red Badge of Courage was about a young officer, young private in the Union Army named Henry Fleming, who fled from the army, fled from the field of battle, he has this feeling of cowardice, and he longs for, I guess you would call it the Red Badge of Courage, to overcome his cowardice. So, very, very famous work. Stephen Crane is booked on this ship, leaving Jacksonville, January 1897, headed to Cuba, to Havana. And so, the ship sailed from Jacksonville with about 30 men, cargo, and ammunition for the Cuban rebels fighting against the Spanish, fighting for independence. War fever was spreading across the United States. This is even before William Randolph Hearst and Joseph Pulitzer conspired to sell the war to the American public. This is even before they had been successful in that. War fever was spreading pretty rapidly, and Jacksonville was one of the hotbeds of revolutionary activity, if you want to call it that, or even the idea of American citizens going as privateers. Stephen Crane was actually one of those people. As I said, Red Badge of Courage, written a few years earlier. He's famous. He's a writer, and now he wants to go to Cuba to aid the revolutionary cause as a war correspondent. Much like Ernest Hemingway, who has ties to Florida. Maybe we'll do a podcast on Hemingway in the future. Much like he went to Spain during the Spanish Civil War. So on the evening of December 31st, 1896, the Commodore began its journey from Jacksonville to Havana. The steamship not only had the 30 passengers, including Crane, that I mentioned, but 40 bundles of rifles and more than 200,000 shells for the revolutionaries.
There was dense fog on the St. John's River, and the Commodore did strike a sandbar, and the ship was heading out of Jacksonville. You can envision this on a map, up the St. John's River, through Mayport, into the open Atlantic, and down along the Florida coast toward Cuba. That was the path, the proposed path, the projected path. And just 2 miles out, you have this incident. So then, have the ship on its way, but it has damage. Another incident now happens where the ship is beached and further damaged, close to Mayport. And then later that evening, this is the evening of January 1st, 1897, a leak began in the ship.
And so this leak begins after Mayport, once they're in the Atlantic. And then the water pumps were malfunctioning, and that created further problems and a further leak. And the ship finally comes to a standstill about 16 miles from out to sea from Ponce de Leon Inlet, which was then called Mosquito Inlet. The ship took on more water. The passengers were trying to use buckets to shovel the water out because, of course, the pumps are malfunctioning. So the pumps aren't working and you can't pump water out. And the engine room ends up being overwhelmed and there's nothing left to do. So there's no hope. The Commodore's lifeboats were lowered in the dark, wee early morning hours of January 2nd, 1897. And the ship was gone, had sunk by 7 a.m. Now, several passengers took the first two lifeboats. There were three lifeboats. First two lifeboats, those two lifeboats get to shore. They get to the Halifax area, Daytona area, whatever you want to call that area, that coast. We now call it the Fun Coast. But it was the Halifax area, I think, was a generally accepted name for much of its existence. And of course, the Halifax River runs through that area. This is Volusia County, of course, modern Volusia County. The Captain Edward Murphy, Crane, and a couple of other passengers were the last to leave. They were trying to save the boat. They were trying to salvage what they could, trying to help rescue the other passengers. Very heroic. So they get the last lifeboat, and unfortunately, and we know, I would recommend people who want to know more about this read the open boat. The boat overturned in the surf, and these men are already exhausted, and they get to shore eventually. One of them dies, Billy Higgins, at this point, you have a really crazy situation where getting back to Jacksonville or getting to shore from Daytona to Jacksonville takes several days. And
in the open boat, Crane describes seeing the lighthouse, which is, of course, the Ponce de Leon Inlet Light, was Mosquito Inlet Light at the time. They think that they can make it there, but then they're not able to, right? The surf is so heavy. And what ends up happening is that you have a situation where we mentioned the man who passed, who didn't make it to shore earlier, Billy Higgins, he actually had swum ahead of them and was trying to keep the boat with him. And what ends up happening is he drowns, and he was the strongest of these survivors that were supposed to be on the last boat. And the boat itself rows ashore and comes ashore on the coastline, the Halifax area, Volusia County. And finally, they get to shore. This is the captain, Crane, and one other. They're rescued. There are rescuers there. Obviously, there are two lifeboats that have come ashore before and previously. And then the third lifeboat comes ashore empty, as I said. And then Billy Higgins' body washes ashore. And he's dead. Crane stayed overnight as a guest and was reunited with his partner when he got to Jacksonville 4 days later. And by the time he got to Jacksonville, it was news, particularly in the Hearst and Pulitzer Press. As I alluded to at the beginning of the podcast, they had war fever over Cuba. And there were allegations that this was some sort of sabotage, that there were Spanish agents in Jacksonville, Spanish agents in Tampa, Spanish agents in Key West, which were the three major cities in Florida. Pensacola was a major city also, but three of the four major cities in Florida at the time. And they were plotting this sort of thing because they knew there were munitions. They knew that there was all of these men who were going to help the freedom fighters in Cuba, as well as all of this artillery and munitions and weapons that was going to be used against the Spanish. So there was sabotage involved. That still to this day has not been proven. The Commodore was a ship that was a reliable coal-powered ship, a 180-ton ship. And it had not had these sorts of problems until this this journey from Jacksonville, this journey that was supposed to be from Jacksonville to Cuba. So people can continue to theorize about it. As I said, The Open Boat was written by Stephen Crane, and he also wrote an article, long article for, it was either Harper's or Atlantic Monthly, one of the big literary journals. And by the way, those two magazines still exist. I'm an Atlantic subscriber, a longtime Atlantic subscriber. Some of the best writing you'll find anywhere. But for one of those two magazines, he wrote a great piece. And that gives us a lot of the information that we have today about this real tragic happening. So Crane doesn't end up in Cuba. He ends up going to cover the war between Turkey and Greece, ends up in Europe and dies, age 28, from a pulmonary hemorrhage that he had in December 1899, which is exactly 3 years after the Commodore, right? That was December of 1896, December 31st. This is December 29th, 1899. He has a pulmonary hemorrhage. By the next month, he felt like he had recovered enough to work on a new novel, which he unfortunately would not finish. Except he did dictate fragments of it to his partner so that he could get it published as he was dying at a health spa in the Black Forest in Germany in June of 1900 at the age of 28. So talk about living a full life. Mentioned Red Badge of Courage was published, I think, when he was 23 or 24, or maybe even younger. I think about it, 20, 21 or 22. And a number of other important works, including The Open Boat, which is really kind of the account by which we base so much of what we know about this. Now, one other point I want to make is the wreckage of the Commodore was found in 2002 off the coast of Daytona Beach. And there is... there have been tests that have been done on the site, on the boat, the things that we things that we can do with the wreckage, with the damage. There was a series of dives in 2003 and 2004. Information by scientists. There's no evidence that we have that it was sabotage. But given the situation at the time, given the number of Spanish agents that were running around in Jacksonville, Key West, and Tampa, it is possible, because this was a very advantageous event for the Spanish. So, that's sort of, something hanging out there permanently. Was the Commodore sabotaged? And we don't know. But we do know what went down. We know those munitions never reached Cuba. We have the hindsight of history now, knowing what happened in 1898 and the Maine and the role of the Pulitzers and the Hearst in that. We could do a whole podcast, actually, on William Randolph Hearst's relationship with Florida. We might do that at some point, because William Randolph Hearst is a fascinating figure from my perspective. Just one of the most fascinating figures in American history. Not someone I admire, but someone who I am fascinated by. So maybe that's a podcast we'll do in the future. But we don't know. We can take things as they appear, which was that it hit a sandbar and then the hull was damaged, and there were other more damage was done when the ship beached itself again, and it just wasn't seaworthy. That's perfectly reasonable. That's the official version. Or it might have been sabotage. We just don't know. Anyway, thank you once again for listening to the Florida History Podcast. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. And we will be back with you next week.